Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the East City Ranch, otherwise known as Paranormal and UFO Central. Now, contrary to a lot of the rumors going around, we are not closed. We do close down for the winter due to the snows and just the heavy weather, and we do have some weather coming in with about 8 degrees Fahrenheit and snow right behind it, so we probably will be closed down until the spring, mainly just because it's too hard to get up here on the mountain, and we always have to dig everybody out, you know, so it's pretty hard to get up here. But anyway, we are not being closed down. We aren't closing down our work. In the newsletter that I put out, it's just saying that I'm just kind of tired of all the nonsense and disinformation and misinformation and the censorship in the UFO community and where it's going. So I've kind of removed myself from the talk circuit and from some of the other talk shows, you might say, just because of the direction that they're taking and the gross imbalance of information, where they're moving it in a very dark direction, and there's reasons why. But anyway, it seems that our powers that be need to keep a threat going, you know, and this is the new program from them to keep the, you know, the running out of countries to bomb and level and war upon. So now they're going to create an alien threat. But, they seem to be getting full cooperation of a lot of the conferences and a lot of the radio shows. So, be that as may, I'm kind of stepping out of that program and going to do my best to get the information out on this venue and other talk shows that do have integrity and, that give people a fair shake and bring out a balanced message. So I'm not saying the whole universe is friendly, but I'm saying it's more benevolent than you can imagine. And it's time to bring a balanced message out that, you know, give the benevolent ones a chance and, let's start talking to them, because they do have the fuelless energy technology. They've transcended disease and war. They've got their environments in order, and they can help us help ourselves, you might say. So rather than continuing to work with the low-level nonsense, we should rise to the occasion and work with the more benevolent ones. But that being said, I want to welcome our new guest on tonight. William Henry is a good friend, and you know, he's doing some amazing work out there. He's an investigative mythologist, and he's got a new book out, Freedom's Gate. And I know he's got some other DVDs out, Morph, and a few other things, but hopefully we can get him on the show and talk about these things. So, William, are you with us?
I am here, James. How you doing, man?
Great. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's really great to talk with you.
Yeah, I mean, I had one show with you a while back. We haven't seen you since the last conference here. We'll have
which
to get
was,
you back.
Yeah, which was an extraordinary experience. I think about it all the time. People ask me everywhere I go, you going back to James's place? What's going on up there? All that kind of thing. So.
Well, we are having a new conference coming up. We were thinking about not doing one. We weren't sure if we were going to do it or not because of the ways things are unfolding in the economy and everything. But we're going to give it one more shot and see what happens with the economy. And I know some of the other major conferences are calling it quits, which is interesting. So,
yeah,
after, it, oh, go it ahead.
It just seems to be, I've done quite a few conferences this year, and attendance is solid at some of them, but for others, just seems to be a time where you have to inhale, then you have to exhale, and so we seem to be in between kind of breaths right now, and I think that's a pretty good place, really, because as we head forward into 2010, it's a kind of a fresh start, new decade, and so much going on, and so much interest, and people always wanting to get together to find out what in the heck is going on. And I appreciate your comments at the start of the show, because it does just seem that there's some strange information out there, and it's absolutely appalling that some people seem to be given a platform to say just anything they want. They're almost as if they're just making stuff up and have zero accountability and don't really seem to care about the people that they're supposed to be serving in terms of providing accurate information. And it's very troublesome to me. So I share some of your sentiment there.
Yeah, it's just amazing, some of the information. I'm seeing, there's a lot of different types of people out there, and there's some that are just straight disinformation people, and they have a job to do, and they're doing a good job of it out there, and people are buying it.
Yep.
And then you've got other people that are just have, overactive imaginations and very large egos and are really seeking fame and fortune. And then, there's just all kinds out there, and what's sad is it's just gotten so confused, and there's so much noise out there that the people that are really having contacts and have a message that's, hopeful, that's inspiring, that is directed towards the awakening and healing of humanity and the earth, are just being drowned out or lost in the noise. And it's gotten so noisy now that there's just no room to even go there. Not to mention they haven't made room, it's sad, but the people that are holding these conferences and as well as some of the talk shows and everything are just giving so much airtime and podium time to the people that are pushing a very dark scenario and a very negative message and a lot of misinformation. They seem to be getting, 98% of the podium and airtime right now.
Yeah, I mean, I talked with a person I know that is a mental health care professional even, and she had been to a recent conference in Southern California where there was some disclosure information presented and that kind of thing, and she was just, as a professional, was looking at this going, my God, I can't believe how they're just simply tormenting these people with just literal outright mind control. And she was wondering what she should do about it. And I said, well, you've got to get involved. You've got to let those speakers know. You've got to let the conference organizers know that what they're doing is not only amoral, really, but it's also, it's almost borderline criminal. And that's what's really troubling about a lot of this. And I understand there's all kinds of different agendas that people can really, they have free speech. They can say whatever they want. They might have insider information. They might really know people that are in the so-called black world that have access to information that ordinary individuals don't have. But at the same time, they're just not providing one, accurate information, or two, really a safety net for people. It's kind of like what they're doing is kind of akin to running into the theater and screaming fire and then just running out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, what I've seen too is that what's interesting is, the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. And I always feel the same way about the information. If you have a victim consciousness, or you always want to have an enemy, or you live in fear, you're going to flock to that kind of information. That's where you want to go. But if you do have more of a consciousness where you're seeking to, awaken and heal and rise to the occasion and hook up with the higher beings, that's what you're going to experience as well. And there's a, right now, sadly to say, the forum for the negative side and the support for the negative side is I would say 90%+ right now in those venues.
So what do we do?
Good question. What I found is that, the Oakito approach is, rather than attack them, just to flow around them and, you know, let them fall on their own face, which is pretty much what's happening right now. They are, you know, people are just walking away from this. And what I've seen over and over again when I sent out those newsletters is that I had overwhelming support. I had one negative letter back that basically tried to attack us or whatever, which was pretty unfounded what they had to say. But, I mean, I got literally hundreds and hundreds of emails back saying, thank God somebody's finally saying it. You know, somebody is taking them to task, you know. And so, you know, and everybody has that shared feeling. They're just tired of the negativity. They want to hear some good news. They want to hear the truth. They want some science behind it. They want some evidence behind it. And they're just tired of all the craziness and the disinformation and the frequency. You know, I know some people that are really sensitive that go to these things and they get ill. They get ill just being in that frequency, and they're going there to, you know, to share and to network and hook up with people of like mind, and they think it's going to be a wonderful event, and when they get there they just get energetically slammed.
Well, and that was also the issue that my mental health professional had too, is that some people who would go to some of these events aren't well to begin with.
Yeah.
And when they get there, they are stirred up by these people that say, oh, I know the date of disclosure. I have black ops people that you'll never meet that are telling me when disclosure is going to happen. And this is happening, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And these people just get whipped up and have nowhere to go after that. And then now they're cut mm-hmm. loose in the streets, and it's tragic.
And, you know, when you have the rug pulled out from under you about 10 times in a row, eventually you go, forget it. You know, I'm not listening to any of this anymore, which is the plan, you know.
Which is the plan, right.
Yeah, I've noticed in YouTube right now, YouTube is just getting flooded with really good footage of UFOs, and some of it is authentic and a lot of it is CGI, and now it's just getting flooded with CGI and fake stuff now to just, again, to bury the stuff that's real. And now they're even taking NASA footage and CGIing it and then saying, see, all the other stuff was fake, you know, that people showed you with the UFOs in it. So it's quite an effort. But, you know, to me, the good news is that the reason they are doing all this other stuff is because the pressure's on and too many people have figured it out. And that's why they're working so hard to keep all this information down, you know, because it is coming out. And, you know, that's just an indicator. You know, the more flack you get, the more you're over the target, and the more they're working overtime, you know, putting out the disinformation, it means that people are figuring it out, you know. So it's just a matter of time before they fold in on themselves.
Well, and that's why I appreciate your voice and the opportunity to chat with you about it, because I've basically been kind of on the, not really the periphery of the whole disclosure kind of idea, but it's certainly not been a central part of my work. And when you get a real good dose of it, as I have in the past, say, 3 to 6 months or so, it is kind of shocking. It's kind of alarming about what is going on. But then you see the potential of what could possibly be coming out of this. If people can embrace this in more of a positive sense, it's that's where it really gets inspiring. I mean, my recent book on the Capitol, in a surprising way, touched on this whole idea of this possibility that we're connected with to use a Star Trek term, like a federation of various star systems that are promoting this awakening right now. And you just start to think about, well, how come when you start to look at a lot of the disclosure information and that isn't really an aspect of it? It seems like there's other parts of this that are taking precedence that aren't as really, let's just call it, enlightening.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a question for you. And it kind of stems from your experience here as well. Mm-hmm. But I think about it, like, what self-respecting, you know, extremely telepathic, sensitive, you know, extremely advanced being, why would they even come to these events, which are supposed to be held in their name or whatever? And why would they even function with the military or the government, considering that all they're pushing is fear and aggression? And that's the one thing that that people, why do they go to these avenues waiting for the answer? Because the answer will never come through those avenues.
Right.
And by your experience, I know when you came here, when you experienced, when the ships came in and they powered up, I noticed one thing is I go, do you see that? And you go, I felt it. And you,
right.
And that's the key. You feel the connection. You feel the bliss and the energy, the ecstatic energy that comes with those connections.
Well,
and
that's what I always tell people. I said that there's, I just personally can't imagine that the U.S. Air Force has any kind of a technology that's going to make you feel that way.
No. And getting back to your books, I've seen the same thing, is that, you know, you're revealing all of this, this new information that does tap into all these stargates that seem to hook up with other star nations and their symbols, and which I really want to get into is you know, your latest book, Freedom's Gate and the Lost
mm-hmm.
Symbol.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had a chance to read it yet, so I'll have to feign a little bit of ignorance about this, but I have followed your work, and, you know, it's been awesome and very revealing. But if you wanted to give us a little synopsis of the book, that would be great.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what happened there, because I feel that my experience at your place at the East City Ranches was critical, really, to being able to understand what's going on, in particular in the symbolism in the dome of the U.S. Capitol, which is what Freedom's Gate is about. I mean, there's all kinds of books about the spiritual layout, the sacred geometry of D.C., the Freemasonic overlay of Washington, D.C., the monuments, the memorial, so on and so forth, but none of these books ever really got into the Capitol itself, or in particular the dome of the U.S. Capitol and the incredible artwork that's in there. And what you see when you go into the dome of the Capitol is this amazing painting by Constantino Brumidi, who is a Vatican artist. The painting is called The Apotheosis of George Washington. And what it portrays is George Washington as a deity, as a resurrected being, as an enlightened being. He is portrayed on a rainbow, surrounded by the five pagan deities of alchemy. And furthermore, what he's shown doing is sitting on a rainbow as this deified being. And the word apotheosis, the title of the painting, is Greek, meaning to deify or to glorify. And mm-hmm. what I found in my research on the painting is that, you know, a couple of the experts, and there aren't many that have really written about it, apart from Dan Brown, who came along and wrote his book, The Lost Symbol, and featured it earlier this year, and we can talk about that too. But most of them just kind of look at it and say, okay, yeah, so here's Washington on a rainbow, apotheosis means to deify, and yes, there are these pagan deities that surround Washington, but they never really made the connection that, well, wait a minute, there's a profound spiritual message that's embedded or encoded within this painting. And what opened it up for me was recognizing that when in Christian art, when they portray the resurrected Jesus sitting on his throne, he's portrayed exactly the same way. He's portrayed sitting on a rainbow. And the connection that I made that was really kind of surprising to the people at the Capitol, including the curator of the U.S. Capitol, Dr. Barbara Wallinan, was that not only is Washington portrayed on a rainbow as a deity, and not only is Jesus in his resurrected form portrayed on a rainbow, but also the Tibetans mm-hmm. who portray their lamas who have achieved what they call the rainbow body, the ultimate enlightenment for humankind, are also portrayed in exactly the same way. And I remember coming up there to the ranch and talking with you after that and saying, well, now, wait a minute, James, when you're talking about some of these craft that you see in the skies over the mountain there and what people experience, you describe that you have the two types of craft. You have the solid metallic kind, and then you also have the biological craft.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to me that you made the connection as well, that it's possible that the biological craft, the ones that power up, could actually be biological or living beings. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. From my understanding is that is that, you know, even the Vedic scriptures talk about this. They said some of the ships are physical, some are energy ships. And I know in order to jump the dimensions that your ship has to be a biological ship in order to get, you know, into the higher dimensions. But because your ship goes through an ascension process. And then they have beings themselves that are, they have ships that are magnetized light ships and these Merkaba vehicles, which are basically what you'd probably call those rainbow bodies. They're beings themselves that travel in the light body, and their light body is their ship, and they seem to have the ability to manifest, if they choose, drop their vehicle all the way down into the physical and in a big flash of light manifest. And I know there's a lot of teachings about this. You know, Babaji is very adept at doing that, but I believe anybody who has ascended and actually taken the body with them has that ability. And there's probably quite a few people we don't even know about it, and there's probably whole civilizations of beings that have this capability.
Well, let me make this point then, because that, and I'm glad you affirmed that and confirmed it, because I knew that's what you had said, but I just wanted to hear mm-hmm. you say it again. Because when I'm in the Capitol, and I'm looking up at Washington and saying, well, wait a minute, they're portraying him as one of these ascended beings. And that must mean that what he is modeling for us is the true meaning of freedom and liberty. I mean, forget mm-hmm. all this crap that we think about. Mm-hmm. True freedom, true liberty is mm-hmm. is enlightenment. It's achieving the rainbow body. It's joining this civilization. So there are these five pagan gods that surround Washington, which all have alchemical connections, which is very important, but also surrounding Washington are 13 maidens, and they all have stars on their heads. And so when you're with the guides in the Capitol and you're walking around, they say, yeah. And so when you look up and you see Washington, those 13 maidens with stars on their heads, those represent the original 13 colonies. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense, because this isn't an earthly scene. Washington is portrayed in the heavens. He's on a rainbow. He's portrayed as an ascended being. So what could those 13 star maidens represent? And so I went back into my Tibetan research, and I had remembered that the Tibetans teach that the rainbow body teaching didn't originate on Earth. In Tibet, they teach that it's taught in 13 star systems in addition to our own.
Hmm.
And what I began to wonder is it possible that what this painting encodes or represents is that Earth, our star system, Sol, is a member of a quote-unquote federation of 14 star systems in total where the rainbow body teaching is taught.
You know, it totally makes sense. One of the masters that, his name's Max Christensen, who teaches Kunlun, and we were studying this, and it's a very ancient Tibetan technique that came out of the Kunlun temples, and it's about 2,000 years old, just released, and a very powerful technique. It's very simple, too, but there's a lot more to it, but the basics of it are very simple. And we were tracing it back, and I was talking what I know, and we were sharing stories, and basically what they traced this back to was Egypt. And it goes all the way back to Egypt, and mm-hmm. Egypt goes back to Atlantis and Lemuria, and Atlantis right. and Lemuria go back to the Pleiades. They were the Pleiadian colonies that other star nations joined in on. And so it's just all tying in, and when you're talking about this ascension process, when you do the Kunlun, we're having people actually vanishing in the classes. And we're taking photographs of it, too, where people are here 1 minute and then gone, and there's just a space there in their chair, and then they're back again, and you can see a outline of their form, and some people you can see right through them and see the chair right through them with a faint outline of their form. And it seems to be a common occurrence happening here lately. It's been going on for quite a while. I had it happening with myself quite a bit, but now it's happening with a lot of students, and so it is all tying in together, and we are starting to, you know, tie the dots together and figure out that there is a science behind this, and actually a spiritual practice to it. And you know, day by day, we're understanding more of this and experiencing more of it.
Well, I'm absolutely convinced of it, and I'm also convinced that the U.S. Capitol encodes this same message. And that's mind-blowing because it says, well, wait a minute, now we have to really look beyond our earthly concerns here. And to me, it's very inspiring to think that the possibility that Sol, our star system, is indeed connected with these other star systems, and that it suggests to me that if we are part of this grouping of star systems, one, I wondered if these 13 maidens that I'm describing with the stars on their heads, they hold a banner in their hand. And it suggested to me that the words on this banner might in fact be the name of this federation. And the words on the banner are the words, e pluribus unum, out of many, one. And what a beautiful name for a federation of star systems, because what it suggested to me is that, well, if we are a member of these star systems, you're only as strong as your weakest link.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to hypothesize that we would probably be the weak link in this grouping of star systems.
Mm-hmm.
And this would in part account for other beings coming here and having an interest in us in hopes of bringing us into a position of greater strength, spiritually speaking.
Mm-hmm. It seems to go both ways, you know, out of the many become one, like the many finally realize that the Creator is omnipresent within all creation, or you could say out of the one came the many, you know, we all came from the same source.
Yeah.
And go either way with it. But I do feel that is what we're undergoing right now, is this huge transformation. And that's what the star nations are telling me, is that, you know, they talk almost biblical when you hear them talk. You know, they talk about God is coming. It's a frequency. It's a force. They mm-hmm. said it's a grand accelerator. It's going to accelerate the awakening healing process. The karmic reaction is going to be accelerating. They said it's uncovering everything. You know, the apocalypse really means the great uncovering.
Right.
And so they say this old program or this old archetype, you know, that's based on greed and separation and domination is going down. You know, it's being disassembled by these new energies.
Yeah, and I agree with that, and I think that's certainly part of what has to happen. And one of the things that I've encountered since writing the Freedom's Gate book and talking about that is the incredible cynicism about Washington, which is pretty much well deserved. But at the same time, we can't turn our backs on that. I think we have to transform the existing systems, the existing structures mm-hmm. on this planet, instead of just kind of wanting to throw them out. And so I think that's important. And the message here is that, well, already in place here is recognition of this greater reality. A second thing that I'm personally interested in, and I did want to ask you about, see if you can help me with this, is that the Tibetans don't list these other 13 star systems where the rainbow body is taught. At least I haven't been able to find it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you just go back into sacred myth or scriptures from around the world, you can pretty well come up with at least half a dozen of these star systems. I mean, you got to be talking Sirius, the Pleiades,
mm-hmm.
Ursa Major, Orion, Cygnus. That's five. What do you think? I mean, what would some of the other? What might some of the others be?
Well, you've got the Andromedans, and you've got the Arcturians. I'm trying to think of all the different ones. I mean, I've seen beings that they've come here and I asked them where they're from, and they said, it doesn't matter. And I said, why? And they said, you have no reference points. You know, they said, we're not even in your dimension.
That's so funny, because I feel that way even asking the question of myself. It's like, well, it really doesn't matter. Why do you want to know what the other 13 are? I mean,
yeah.
They are.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know for a fact that if you go down the scale, I know you've got the Andromedans, the Arcturians, and the Sirians. There's an Orion Council of Light and the Pleiadians. There's several others there those are the main ones that we connect with. And then does seem to be, out of Orion, there does seem to be a group that these systems also have some small groups coming out of there that are regenerate as well, and mainly out of the Orion system from what I hear. So they have J.J. Hertek talks about the Orion Council of Light, and I've experienced those beings, and I was initiated by one. It was phenomenal on what happened, but you know, everything was returned to me, all my memories, past life memories, off world, this world, everything. And I mean, it turned me upside down for about 2 weeks after that experience. I had to kind of recalibrate and get grounded. But they're there, and I think we all have to just, like Jesus said, you know, by their fruits you'll know them. And I think more by their frequency you'll know them, or by their vibration. Mm-hmm. You'll know them and their deeds. You know, are they empowering you as an individual to make your own personal God connection? Are they speaking of love and joy and bliss and harmony? You know, or are they creating a lot of fear and separation and againstness, like these low level programs going on?
And, right, and that does bring us back to this, because I mean, here I am when I'm just as a person doing this work in the Capitol and writing the book, and just feeling like all of a sudden I feel like my consciousness is plugged into this greater reality, E Pluribus Unum. It's like, well, wait a minute, this doesn't reconcile with what I'm hearing about disclosure. Nobody's talking about this kind of thing. Everybody's talking about you know more kind of the fear stuff, and it just doesn't even reconcile. And I wonder, how come there's such a big gap? And I think that's about when your letter went out, kind of addressing this, is that here's the gap and here's the problem. And I could really relate to it, because there's really nothing beautiful, or even in a way even appealing about disclosure as it's presented, for the most part, to me.
Well, what I've seen about disclosure and being involved in it is that, you know, I don't want to put down that program, and they are doing a benefit in getting out the fact that UFOs are here, they've always been here, and also, too, is bringing out a lot of the real credible witnesses, you know, top government officials and everything else. But it goes back to that old program, is the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. And if you have a military mindset of againstness and the enemy and all this other stuff, you're not really going to hook up with these higher beings, and it just doesn't happen. But I've had people in the military after they've done a shift in consciousness, and they released the past and had a major awakening, and then they did connect with these higher beings, but they had to change their entire mindset for this to happen. And I just don't see that in that program, unfortunately. It's the majority of the program, and you know, and I've had some of those guys ask me, well, how come you don't have me come and speak at the conference? And I said, well, that's a really good question, how come you haven't had me come and speak? And they go, that was a good question, you know. And that was the end of it, you know. I just said, I said, well, I don't want to promote you know, that these guys are all a threat. You know, we fear change and the unknown. And that is the biggest threat, and we have to get over that, because these things, beings, do represent change and the unknown, and we're here to make the unknown known. I mean, that's why we incarnated, is to experience, you know, the unknown and grow and evolve. So it's just a matter of where the direction that's going in. You know, I asked him, I said, well, what about all these extremely advanced beings that are fifth, sixth, seventh dimensional beings, ninth dimensional beings, that have transcended all of this separation, greed, war, you know, lack. They've transcended disease. You know, they have their abundant energy, transportation, all their energy needs are met fearlessly. And I said, what about all of these beings? You know, why don't they get a venue or, you know, some space, you know, in these conventions? And you just don't hear about it. They're either trying to prove that they're real, or they keep your head cranked back into the past, you know, or they're, you know, with Roswell and everything else, or you're just going, it's happening now, folks, and the majority of it is benevolent. And when are we going to look into our ancient roots and realize that these people have been guiding us all along, which I commend you for the work that you're doing, is showing that they have been a part of kind of keeping us on track and keeping us evolving you know, in a positive manner so we don't devolve and totally destroy ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, and thank you for that, because, I mean, that is definitely something that just came out loud and clear in this search, especially, again, concerning the Capitol. It's like, well, wait a minute. I mean, this is totally benevolent, this group and this teaching here, and how come we're not being encouraged to achieve our rainbow body as a, if there is such a thing, a prerequisite towards becoming affiliated with these people? Mm-hmm. And because that is ultimately, to me, the path that puts you on the path of enlightenment and benevolence, and when you're focused on that, you're completely away from the whole military paradigm, and that's why I just found it really difficult to reconcile what I'm seeing here, because it just seemed like, okay, the U.S. military is completely irrelevant to any of this. Why are we always looking to have the military prove that this is actually so? Because they are absolutely nothing compared to what we're describing here.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can't wrap their heads around it. They can wrap their heads around the low-level stuff,
yeah,
you know, because it matches their frequency and their consciousness. But they can't even wrap their heads around the fact that these beings are interdimensional and are ultra-dimensional, and that mm-hmm. their technology is a spiritual technology, and it's not used, you know, to harm anyone or anything.
Right.
And they're not aggressive, they're not a threat, and our biggest threat is ourselves and our own actions and consciousness.
And to me, it's kind of a wink-wink kind of a joke that this is inside the dome of the United States Capitol, this message.
Mm-hmm.
And the dome of the Capitol is a model for a portal. I mean, Washington, as he's portrayed on the rainbow, surrounded by these 13 star beings, is also encircled by 72 stars,
mm-hmm.
which you look up at that and say, well, wait a minute, that's a circle of stars. That's a gate of stars. Isn't that a stargate that he's in? And isn't 72 one of the most important numbers in the precession of the equinoxes code? And isn't this telling us that maybe there's some big galactic working that's in place here? And of all places, the dome of the U.S. Capitol encodes this teaching. I mean, this has got to be significant, and we need to pay attention to it.
It's almost like this giant clock is like ticking away,
yeah,
and then it reaches a certain point, and then it's going to go into overdrive and fast spin, and anybody who can't hang on is just going to be flung out, flung off the planet or something. I don't know, but it's quite interesting. You know, to me, in the interest of national security, we should be aligning with the benevolent ones, because they have full use of creational energies and demonstrated technologies far beyond anything we can imagine. And in the interest of national security, we should be working with them to help, you know, end disease, to help knock out all these horrendous biologicals that are flying around that are created in laboratories. And you know, bring in the technology to heal this stuff, to turn this planet around, to clean up, you know, the air and the water and everything else. It makes no sense whatsoever, no common sense whatsoever, ever, you know, other than the fact that our leadership is just totally blind and ignorant and illogical, and are just focused on their lust for power and greed at any expense. They have lost all soul connection, you know?
Yeah,
or
I agree.
Or they're connected to something else, you know? That's
yeah,
the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I see that too, because in my own personal experience doing the research in the Capitol, I mean, the spiritual energy in that place is palpable. You feel it. And you can easily see how a person, an elected person, for example, coming into such a place who has no spiritual awareness whatsoever, is completely living in the lower three chakras, in other words, would just be intoxicated and overwhelmed by the energy of the place.
Yeah, it's probably why Bush is in rehab right now.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you
see how that can happen.
Yeah, yeah. Couldn't handle the energy, and everything got amplified, and all of his stuff came up to the,
yeah,
you know.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it literally is a power spot in that way that activates whatever energy is there. And if it happens to be you're focused on the lower, that's what's going to manifest. I mean, it literally is a temple. I mean, Thomas Jefferson, who was one of the co-creators of the temple, called it a temple of sovereignty. It was called mm-hmm. the temple of celestial liberty when it was built. I mean, this is the mindset of the people that were creating this temple, and we have completely forgotten that. But the message is there that this literally is a temple of ascension. There's no doubt about that. And mm-hmm. but even beyond that, it encodes this concept that beyond just earthly ascension, that what we're talking about is linking up with a group of beings who are so perhaps far beyond the average American's imagination, but yet if they learn about these beings, there's tremendous inspiration there, and people begin to ask, well, why not us? And the answer is, yeah, why not us? We can be mm-hmm. part of that.
Oh, I agree 100%. Now, is there anything about 2012 written into I know that 1776 was a critical number, and I remember there's a few people I've heard talk about that there's actually some kind of numbers or numerology tied into 2012. Are you familiar with that?
Well, there is. 1776, of course, is a very important number. That's one of the last the countdown dates on the Mayan calendar. Mm-hmm. And it's actually encoded on the Great Seal of the United States. So that is an important part of it. But even more than that, even more directly perhaps, is the same artist who painted the apotheosis of George Washington, his name was Constantino Brumidi, also painted the frieze inside the dome of the U.S. Capitol. It literally wraps around the interior rim. And he actually has the Aztec sunstone painted in there as well. He shows Montezuma escorting Cortez into a solar temple and shows him the Aztec sunstone, which is, of course, the basis for the Mayan long count calendar. So there's lots of 2012 connections to be made there. I mean, you've got 1776 is the beginning of the last 13 baktuns leading to 2012. Then you've actually got the Aztec sunstone in there, so it seems to be pointing to 2012 as an extremely important date in the capital symbolism.
And maybe we're all going to get the rainbow body. The whole planet maybe attains its rainbow body, we got to hang on for the ride.
James, just think about it. I mean, one. Millions of Americans see the dome of the U.S. Capitol on the news every night. It doesn't matter if mm-hmm. you watch Fox or CNN or whatever. There it is. And hopefully the people that see that recognize that that's the dome of the U.S. Capitol, although it would be scary if Jay Leno did one of his jaywalking episodes in D.C. and asked people what that building was pointing to the Capitol. but the point is that most people don't have any awareness whatsoever about what is inside that dome.
Mm-hmm.
It's not part of our education or our upbringing, or for whatever reason, it's just not on our radar. But mm-hmm. just imagine, you start talking with kids about George Washington and throw out the cherry tree and just say, oh, wait a minute. In the dome of the U.S. Capitol, Washington is portrayed as having achieved the rainbow body. Well, what's that? And imagine if you start bringing kids up with some understanding of the potential for transformation that's latent within our bodies,
mm-hmm.
and how that could then be translated into the social implications of that are absolutely profound to me. And that's what we're talking about here, is that will be part of the shift, where it will just literally be almost like commonplace, really, that people will have an understanding that the rainbow body is achievable, and there will be people that are on that path, and people will be recognizing the importance of that and supporting that, and our culture will acknowledge that, whereas right now we just have total blindness concerning these kinds of concepts. Most people have no idea if there's a billion Christians, and how many of those people know what it means, the reason why Jesus is portrayed sitting on a rainbow when he's portrayed in his resurrection scenes, and its linkage to other traditions, and what it means potentially in a cosmic sense.
I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of you know, Christians, you might say. And, you know, I ask them, they start saying, you know, you've got to live your life according to the Bible and everything else. And I start quoting everything that's in the Bible, and they haven't even read it.
Yeah.
You know? And I said, well, why is God totally opposite? You know, the Old Testament God was a jealous, wrathful, vengeful person that gave land to one people, took away from another, and even ordered to have children's heads bashed out on rocks, you know, in the land of milk and honey. And you read that and you go, wow, this is really messed up, you know. And then you read the God of Jesus, who brought the new covenant, that says, you know, God is all loving and all forgiving. And, you know, he says, neither do I judge thee, nor does my Father judge thee. And so, you know, he brings this whole new covenant, this whole image, but people are still running off the old image, you know, the jealous, wrathful God you should fear and everything else. It's kind of crazy until you have the real knowledge of what really happened back then. And when you have the real knowledge, it all makes sense. And I always tell people, I said, well, why don't you just live your life according to Jesus and just forget about the wrathful God and all this other nonsense that happened in the past, you know, but with all these primitive people, because they didn't know what the hell they were doing, you know, and they wrote things down the best they could understand them. But, you know, you can glean all these symbols like you found in sayings, and you can find out there where there has been interaction in the past with ETs, both good and not so good. And it's very clearly spelled out in there if you have the spiritual mind to see, or the knowledge, the pre-knowledge to know what they're talking about.
But the hope, it seems, of our time is that everyone will have access to understanding that if you want to travel between dimensions, become liquid light.
Yeah.
And this is what all the spiritual traditions have been talking about. And now we're going to get an opportunity here to really, really experience that.
Well, I love what you said about if you could teach the children about Washington attain the rainbow body and what the rainbow body is, and then talk about the Capitol, about how it's a temple of sovereignty, and what was the other one? Celestial liberty. And you say, this is what it's all about. You know, and then to say, and look at what we have now.
Right.
Look at where it's gone. it's just a mind blower to me. It's like, you know, I put myself in the mind of one of these extremely advanced beings coming down to this planet, and go, what happened? You know, we hung out with your forefathers. We set this all up for you. We gave you the basic foundation, you know, to be a decent human being and to ascend, you know, and find the God within you, and like all the masters and all these higher beings. And I can imagine coming back here going, and you know, like you guys just sit around looking at a boob tube, guzzling beer, watching people inflict as much damage on each other over a dead animal skin.
Yeah.
And you don't care about anything else other than your condo and your SUV, you know, having gas, and you're fine with it. And it just... Everything has become a total paradox. If you look, I mean, our military, our defense department is really the offense department. And, you know, and you really look at everything that we've created has done a total 180 and become reverse of what it was created to be. Such, you know, and that's what you're showing, that the White House has actually become a total paradox and actually opposite of what it was created to be. And, you know, I think there are some wonderful people out there. I mean, I don't follow politics, but, you know, I think Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich and some of these other guys are really, you know, doing all they can to, like, wake people up. And you know, there's some other ones in there as well. But I don't really follow politics. But, you know, kudos to them, because a very small percentage of them are starting to speak out and just tell it like it is, and just pull the rug out from under all the nonsense. And I'm just seeing now that that's going to get more and more intense, and, you know, like this climate gate thing and all the other stuff that's going down. It's just, you know, they're all just, it's like the emperor has no clothes right now, and we are in that apocalypse, you know, which is the great uncovering. And I've just seen over and over that everything is being uncovered, and karma's just coming around the corner. It took 5 or 10 years to come out, and now it's taking you know, 5 or 10 days.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, Tiger Woods, there you go. You know?
I don't have a TV or anything here, so I miss that, but I don't know what happened with Tiger Woods.
Well, it's just a major meltdown of, it's just one of these, I mean, you hear over and over again as I talk with people that now more and more, or perhaps more than ever, this is a time when you really have to be operating in integrity, because if you're not, whatever those dark corners are, there's going to be light shined on them. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, here's just a dramatic case study in that of a person that's been living a double life, you know, presenting this image of the chosen one, which is what his father presented him to be. His father said that Tiger Woods was going to be, could do more for humanity than Jesus or Buddha. And and so here he is all of a sudden, presenting this image of a married man, happily married, but yet he's running around with every, hostess he can find from New York to Vegas and L.A.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
Suddenly that's all being exposed, and so we're seeing this major meltdown of a star, mm-hmm. of the chosen one, and it's just like, what do you expect? I mean, you calling this guy the chosen one and thinking of him as a star? These people aren't stars. You know, when the ancient Egyptians were talking about becoming stars, they meant it. They meant that we have mm-hmm. the potential within us to become stars, to become light beings, to travel the stars and live for eternity as star beings. And, here we are worshiping these people that we think of as celebrities and stars, but it's ridiculous to even thinking that they're anything close to that.
Well, it's like Mel Gibson, all these people, Tom Hanks, all these people. You look at the movies they're putting out, and they're just totally selling out and trying to keep the status quo. And they'll start, and they'll open up something really good, and then the next movie you see them in totally kills everything that they undid and brings out, a whole negative agenda. And I'm just seeing it over and over again, is what is wrong with some of these producers? What's his name? Opie. It used to be Opie.
Ron Howard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ron Howard. He, was really on the right track, and they did Cocoon and all these other things. And you're going, keep going. And now, Spielberg, all these guys are creating these very, very dark scenarios, or they're only telling a small part of the story and totally removing the benevolent or the higher aspect of things. Maybe they can't tell that story. Maybe they just don't have the consciousness or the understanding to tell that story, which is what I've run into again and again and again, is that in dealing with some of these producers, they want to tell the story of my connections and my contacts, and I start talking to them about it. And within 5 minutes, they're trying to create a shoot 'em up, people abducted, needles stuck in your eye, all this other stuff. And you're going, no, wait, it doesn't work that way. And then I go, look, we're either going to do it right or I don't want to do it at all. And then they go, well, you have no control whatsoever of the content of this thing. And we have a format.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have, guy meets girl, alien threat, guy saves girl, happily ever after program or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's not going to fly. And, it's time for somebody to just get outside the box, and it's time for humanity to, as a collective, just say, I don't want to hear this nonsense anymore. I want a documentary, or I want something that has real content to it, or get out of the old formula and let's do something that, that just corresponds with reality.
Yeah, exactly. And, 2012 is another great example of that, the Roland Emmerich film. It's like, wow. I guess he just wasn't feeling like he had enough karma already on his plate. He wanted a little bit more.
Well, the more special effects and the more fear and the more suspense you can create and the more horrendous crashing of everything and death and everything else, the more money you get at the box office. And unfortunately, people have sold out. It goes back, they've sold their souls out for the fame and the dollar, and where is the service, where's the shifting people into a positive direction, or You know, I think we do need to give people a heads up. Look, if our civilization is unsustainable, our grid is very delicate. You know, it shouldn't be. We should all be sovereign and self-sufficient. There are technologies that won't even be affected by sun flares or all these other problems that are coming up. So let's get on with that and get those out. I mean, I can understand that point of warning people, look, we have to change, that this planet can't continue to support us in the fashion that we've grown accustomed to, but not in a way that, you know, the entire planet's going to be pretty much cleaned, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, it gets back to, for me now, to e pluribus unum and saying, well, okay, I think we need that message getting out that we are connected with these other star systems, and it's time for us to get a much larger vision of who we are as individuals and what, in fact, our planet is connected to.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely have to rise to the occasion. You know, we've run out of time, and I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It's been an awesome show. I wish I had a two-hour show because I know we could fill it.
Right.
But before we go, let's real quick give your website out and any contact information you want to give concerning, you know, the book Freedom's Gate and a lot of the other Morph DVDs and the other things you have on your site.
Thank you. Yeah, my website is williamhenry.net.
Okay.
You can go there and you'll find all the information about Morph and Freedom's Gate. Both are on the front page of my site, and there's contact information there as well.
Great. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and next time you're in the area, be sure and come by and see us. There's a lot going on here.
Count on that, James. Thank you.
We'll show you this Kunlun and some of these other techniques. You'll love them.
All right.
All righty. Well, we're signing off. This is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening, and watch those skies, and focus on love and joy and bliss till you become it. Good night.